Just remain standing, if you will. Turn to Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter number 14 this morning. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. I said already, He is the lily of the valley. Amen. He's why we're here. Amen. Amen. He's the reason that we're alive. He's the reason that we're saved. Amen. He's the reason that we have to go to church. Amen. To worship Him as He deserves. Amen. Romans chapter number 14, we're beginning a new section today in our study of the book of Romans. And I trust that you've enjoyed the study thus far. Today I'm going to give a little bit of an overview of some of the things that we have looked at and give you a little bit in this first point of what we're looking at in the text. And I hope that it'll be a blessing. Amen. Romans chapter number 14, verse number 1. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do quite a bit of reading this morning. Excuse me. I'm not going to try to preach all these verses I'm going to read today. I'm going to try to, they all fit together, and I think we need to read them together. So we're going to start reading verse 1 of chapter 14, and we're going to read all of chapter 14 and the first 9 verses of chapter number, or first 7 verses of chapter number 15. We'll do that responsibly. In other words, go back and forth, taking turns. I'll read first, and then you'll come in the second verse, and we'll go back and forth that way. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, we ought to remember that. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more. But judge this rather, that no man putting a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not thy good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith we one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Or let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of peace and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We'll stop there in verse 7 of chapter 15. You probably notice verse 7 ends up with the thought, receive one another as Christ received us. Chapter 14 began, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. And so that's the thought we're going to be preaching on this morning. Accepting a weak brother in Christ. Accepting a weak brother in Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask him to add blessing to the reading of his word. Brother Jacob, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord. Yes, Lord, please. Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. By the way, I had us read much more. I don't know if I've ever had us stand and read that far or that much, many verses at one time. I'm not sure if I have. But I felt like all this went together, and since we're beginning to look at this section, I thought it'd be good for us to get it all. I'm sure you weren't able to process all that information that came, particularly when you're trying just to keep up with the reading and all that goes along with that. But I wanted us to get it in our mind, and we'll be doing that as we go along in this, because I believe all this fits together, and we need to see it in its context, not just one verse out of all these others. That is wonderful in its place, but we need to see it as it applies and connects to all of these verses. Now, we've been studying this epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans, and we've moved from the doctrinal portion of the book. The first 11 chapters are the doctrinal portions of the book. And now we've moved to the practical application of the doctrine. I want to say one more time what I've said a number of times. It doesn't matter how much you believe unless you're practicing what you believe. You may know about a lot of things that you're not doing. Amen. And so it doesn't matter. Here's the illustration of that. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says you need to be taking this particular medicine. And they give you a prescription. And you go pick it up. And you put it in the cabinet. And you forget about it. And you go back to the doctor, and they say, are you doing what I told you? Well, you know it, but you're not doing it. Is that right? That is right. And are you surprised that it's not helping you? That just because you know it, hey, listen, just owning a Bible doesn't help you if you don't apply it to your life. Amen. And so, amen, I'm not against you owning the Bible. I think you ought to own one, but I'm saying we ought to apply it to our life. Don't not just leave it up on the shelf somewhere. Amen. But this section that we're looking at here, this last section that covers five chapters, chapter 12 through chapter number 16, and we'll be looking at these together as we go along and continue this verse-by-verse study of the book of Romans. But let me remind you again of what we've looked at. There's four main points of the book that I've chaptered it out and gave you these. Number one, there is how the gospel relates to sinners. Chapters 1 through 3, how the gospel relates to sinners. And then chapters number 4 through 8, how the gospel relates to saints. Amen. There's the sanctification part of not just salvation, but sanctification that's involved. And then chapters 9 through 11 deals with how the gospel relates to Shemites, or we know those as Jews. We call it Semitical, or anti-Semitical, or they're dealing with Shem, they're descendants of Shem. And the Bible's talking about how that God's not cast off Israel, but he's going to look back to them one day. Amen. He's already gathering them and gathering them back into the promised land. And I believe a sign of the times is that God's looking more and more towards Israel and less towards the Gentiles. Amen. Then this last section, chapters 12 through 16 is where we're at now, how the gospel relates to servants and how we put into practice what we have learned. Amen. And so we saw from this outline that the gospel message brings salvation to sinners, but it also brings sanctification to the saints, and it brings sovereign promises to the Shemites, and it brings submissive surrender to the servants of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to surrender to serve Him. That's what it's dealing with. Amen. Matter of fact, the same salvation, this great salvation that teaches us that we're lost and brings us to Christ, also teaches us to separate from the world and look for the second coming of Jesus. Amen. That's very well said in Titus chapter number 2, verses 11 through 14. Let me just read you those. Titus 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. So what Paul said in Titus is just a reflection of what he's saying right here in the whole book of Romans. Now, chapter number 12, we covered the Christian and his life of sacrifice to his God. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we see the Christian and his life of sacrifice unto his God. Chapter number 13 that we just covered recently, we saw the Christian and his law of submission to human government. Amen. We went through that quite a bit. Brother Matt even taught on that or preached on that in Sunday school last week and brought out about how that we are to submit to government even though we don't necessarily like it. Amen. Now here in chapter number 14 and part of 15, we're going to see the Christian and his light shining in helpful guidance. We're to let our light shine and we're to be helpful to others. Amen. The law of Christ does not just tell us, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. But He also tells us to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I personally believe that these people that have a problem with other people have a problem with God. Amen. And I believe that if you're right with God, there'll be a way that you'll have an outreach. Doesn't mean everybody's going to love you. They didn't all love Jesus. You know He was right with God. But He loved them. Amen. When somebody says, I hate that person, there's something wrong in your heart. They may hate you, but you're not to respond to them with hate. Amen. That's right. So far, as we've seen that salvation and sanctification through the gospel of Jesus Christ causes us to yield our bodies to God and yield our rights to government. Now we're going to see that this same gospel message modifies the way we yield our opinions to our fellow believers. Amen. Now I'm going to be touching on some touchy issues in my message today and in the days to come. It's in the text. I didn't intend on going there other than it's right there in the text. But we have a responsibility to yield ground to the weaker brother. Doesn't mean that we compromise as that we lower the standard, but it just means that we work for peace. He talks about that, striving for peace and for encouraging one another. Amen. Amen. In verse number, let me see if I can find it. Chapter 15, yeah, verse number 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to work towards bringing glory unto God. Amen. And we do that by helping our neighbor. Verse 2 of chapter 15. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So we're trying to help him to bring glory to God. That's the point. Now, looking in this chapter, these first 7 verses deal with this point that I'm going to be dealing with today. I'm not going to try to preach all 7 of these verses. I'm going to really just try to preach verse number 1. But I want to show you what this whole section, I'll give you an outline of the section, then we'll come back. First of all, I mentioned there is the accepting of the weak brother. The accepting of the weak. Matter of fact, that goes from verse 1 through verse 9 of chapter 14. Then there is the accusing of the weak brother in verses 10 through 13. And then there is the accommodating of the weak brother in verse 14 through chapter 15, verse number 7. Today we're going to start up talking about accepting a weak brother in Christ. I'm going to use this outline as the basis of our study today. And looking at these verses, I want to say this. I'm going to say this at the beginning. I'll say it again at the end. I want you to listen to what he's saying. Look at verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. And then he caveats how to receive him. But not to doubtful disputations. Now he's telling us you've got somebody coming in. He's a brother, by the way. He's in the faith. Right. He's not talking about another religion. He's not talking about a whole different breed of just everybody come in and everybody have their way. He's talking about people that are in the faith. But he's weak. He said, you're to receive him. But not to doubtful disputation. So using this outline, I'm going to say, first of all, the weaker brother is to be accepted confidently, courteously, and charitably. That's my point for today. Amen. We'll deal with that. As I said, I'll say something about it again at the end of the message. The weaker brother is to be accepted confidently, courteously, and charitably. Now, verse number 1, again, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. You realize that not all believers are equal in their faith. Not all believers are equal in their understanding of the Word of God. We come from different backgrounds. Some people grew up in church their whole life. Some people, they just recently heard about what the King James Bible even is. Just recently heard about Jesus. Amen. And so some may be strong in the faith while others may be weak in the faith. Amen. But both of these are to be accepted into the fellowship of the local church. Amen. Into the fellowship of fellow believers. Although our goal should always be that we are growing spiritually. Amen. We ought to always want to be getting stronger. We ought to always want to be getting more mature in the faith. Amen. Yet we've got to continually be considerate of the fact that there are those that have not reached the point that we're at yet. Or maybe we've not reached the point that they're at yet. Amen. And so we've got to recognize that we're on this journey and we may have a distance to go yet. We've got to try to go together. Now, some people tend to believe that everybody in the church has got to believe exactly the same way. That we all got to be on the same page of the songbook. Right. But our text proves there can be differences in opinions and differences in understandings so long as we are both in the faith. Matter of fact, look at what he says in verse number 5 of chapter 14. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. This is the phrase I want you to notice. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He said these things that we're talking about, you've got to come to that conclusion yourself. I can't just ram it down your throat. Right? I personally believe, I believe that I have not only the right, I think I have the responsibility, for example, to tell you, for example, how you have to dress if you're going to be on this platform. Right. I think I have the responsibility and the opportunity to tell you some things you've got to believe or that you can say or can't say if you stand behind this podium. Right. But how you live out yonder is between you and God. Because I'm not your daddy at your house. Right? I'm not your husband. Some of you women can say, thank God. Amen. All but one of you women can say that. Amen. I'm just a pastor of the church. But he said, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. Now, listen, and I know I'm going to deviate from my notes just a minute. My dad helped me with this years ago. As a young preacher, I felt like that if I found the truth, everybody else had to be on the same page with me on that truth, or else I was just going to almost drive it into them. I was going to beat it into them. I was going to ram it down their throat. And my dad said, that's not how shepherds lead sheep. Your job's not to drive them. Your job's to lead them. You lead them by teaching them. You lead them by showing them the way. You lead them by continually, constantly encouraging them in that way. Amen. By the way, that's one of the reasons why there's so much repetition in the pulpit. You have to have repetition to make a path. You got to have repetition to make the path clear and plain that others that come along can see that path. Amen. And so we need that in our life. Amen. So let me get back to my notes. Our goal is to be growing. Our goal is to be more mature. Our goal is to be stronger in the faith. But we always got to be considerate that there's somebody that's not reached where we are yet. Amen. Now, I believe this idea about that our text tells there may be differences of opinions, differences of understandings, so long as we're truly in the faith, means that there should be Christian charity that is shown to others that have not yet reached a full understanding of the Scriptures, maybe as we have. So long as they're not fighting against it. So long as they're not being disruptive. Amen. So long as they're not being disputative. I don't know how you say that word, disputative. That's probably not right. They're not disputing. So long as they're not being divisive, so long as they're not bringing and promoting divisions, amen, we're to try to get along with them. We are warned all through the Bible to strive to maintain unity among believers. Amen. However, unity in sentiment and action does not require uniformity in beliefs and understanding. Amen. So long as we walk together. Amen. So long as we agree to work together for a better understanding among us all. For example, an army battalion can march in unity, although there's not uniformity of opinions in the crowd, but they're following the same orders. Amen. They're following the same leader, and so they can walk in, march in unity. Amen. They're headed in the same direction, obeying the same orders, following the same leader. Amen. There should constantly be an influx of new converts into the church. Amen. God's blessed us with all these little children. I thank God for them. Amen. And it just seems like every time we turn around, there's a new baby here or there or everywhere. That's a blessing. It ought to be that way spiritually. Ought to be new converts among us. New converts that may not understand all about the premillennial, pre-tribulational rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His saints. They may not understand about, you know, a lot of things. We could run through a lot of things that I'm not going to go into today that they may not be able to understand or may not have yet understood, and yet we can walk together as long as we're headed in the same direction, following the same orders. Amen. Following the same leader. These new converts will have much to learn. They'll have to travel more slowly, more delicately than the older, more mature saints can travel. Amen. Amen. Truly mature Christians should not ostracize nor criticize the newborn believer for his infantile faith. Amen. The fact that he's just learning. Amen. The fact that he doesn't know all the lingo. Amen. Now, here's what gets me. Sometimes you go to church and Brother Herbert Williams will tell about when he first got saved. He didn't know to jump up and say, glory to God. He didn't know to say, hallelujah. He just said, hot dog, hot dog, hot dog. That's all he knew. But he said it. You know to say hallelujah and you don't. Amen. You and I put myself in that boat. Know to say glory to God, but we don't. But we can laugh at him saying what he, you know, not necessarily what he's supposed to say, but we can say I agree with the sentiments. my sentiments exactly. Amen. I remember I heard it told. I don't think I read it. I heard it told that somebody asked Charles Spurgeon what he thought about Billy Bray. Billy Bray was just a street level man. He didn't have any education. He didn't know a lot. He had a pair of shoes. In one shoe, he wrote the word glory, put it in the bottom of his shoe. The other shoe, he wrote hallelujah, put it in the bottom of his shoe. And as he'd walk down the street, he'd say, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, as he walked along. Somebody asked Mr. Spurgeon, they said, what do you think about that? He said, well, I'm not sure that I'd do it exactly that way, but I agree wholeheartedly with his sentiments. Amen. Amen. Christ deserves the glory. Amen. That's what he's saying about that. But let me remind you of Jacob. Turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 33, and we'll come back to Romans 14 here in a moment. Genesis 33, and Jacob's coming back from Paddan Aram. He's going down there to get a wife. Wound up getting a couple of them. Got a house full of kids. Got a bunch of sheep and all these things. He's come back to meet Esau. Of course, you know he's in danger towards Esau. He's afraid of Esau. But they meet up, and Esau has mercy on Jacob. I remember Brother Wayne Henderson said one time, he said, what a blessing it is to find mercy where he expected only anger. I'm going to tell you, that's where the sinner comes to God at. The sinner don't come to God expecting mercy and thinking they deserve any mercy. They come to God expecting the wrath of God, but they can find mercy where they expected to find wrath. Amen. Verse number 13 of Genesis chapter 33. Jacob's talking to Esau. Esau's wanting to hurry on, get back. Jacob says in verse number 13, he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir. I'm going to just be honest with you. That is, I believe, the biblical view of pastoral leadership. That's the biblical view of discipleship. If you're trying to help somebody, is that you don't drive them too hard that you destroy them. But you lead on softly if necessary. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Till we all come to a better understanding of these principles. Amen. And so Jacob, in his pastoral, I mean, he's a job of a shepherd leading sheep, shows us, I believe, how that we are to lead sheep. That's a good thing for parents to do with their children, by the way. Amen. If Jacob was willing to show such tenderness towards children and the flocks and the herds that were with young, if Jacob was willing to lead on softly, move more slowly, move more deliberately for the sake of the health and the comfort of the children and the animals, how much more should we be willing to sacrifice and surrender our rights a little bit to move a little more slowly? To help those that are coming along. Amen. Those that have not yet reached the ability to walk like we're walking. Not yet reached that area of faith or that matter of maturity. Amen. You know what happens? They get exhausted sometimes in the pace. They get fatigued. And our patience wears out with these little ones of the flock. Right? Amen. I was noticing Miss Ruth with those two little children going to Sunday school. And she is moving about a half a mile an hour. She was moving slow with them children. And that's what you have to do. Amen. Sometimes we get exasperated with them when we say, move on, you know, pick up the pace. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with encouraging them to pick up the pace. But let's don't just run off and leave them. Let's be considerate of their soul. Amen. Amen. So I'm afraid so many times we get exasperated with them and we get tired because they're not able to keep up with the same pace. Maybe we drive them too fast. And maybe we drive them out of impatience with ourselves. Amen. Amen. By the way, don't you think God has exhibited some patience towards you? Oh, yes. He's exhibited a lot of patience towards you and I.
Now these instructions that are before us throughout chapter number 14 and chapter 15 through verse number 7 deals with two primary points. There's dealing with how that these people of differing opinions are to be treated. He tells us how to treat them. And then he tells us how those that are strong in faith ought to use their liberty. So we know some things we can do, but we've got to be careful that we don't offend the little ones that he's talking about here. Amen. So we could say what this deals with, two categories. He deals with Christian charity towards others and Christian liberty in our own life. Amen. Now, reading these verses that we read, and I'm not going to go over today, but we see the differences that are mentioned are two primarily. There's a difference in diet, what you eat, and days, what you observe. Amen. Now, I know some people have taken that and looked at these and try to apply, for example, the drinking of wine. As long as you don't overdo it, they say. That's not what it's talking about. Matter of fact, if that was what it's talking about, he says, if it offends somebody, if it could hurt somebody, don't do it. Well, it hurts a lot of people when people drink wine. Amen. Some people say, well, that's this day that he's considering here is talk about the Lord's Day. Maybe we shouldn't celebrate the Lord's Day. Every day ought to be the same. No, that's not what it's saying at all. He's dealing primarily with the Jews. You know, the Jews wouldn't eat certain meats, especially meats that have been offered to idols, and they wouldn't eat meats that were they considered unclean. And they observed days, Passovers and new moons and all kinds of days. They observed that stuff ended with Christ on Calvary. All that was the shadow that showed us that Christ was coming. Amen. And Paul goes on to say that I know that everything that can be eaten is good and is profitable. Amen. But he said, I'm not going to eat it if it's going to offend my brother. I'm not going to overstep my liberty and hurt my brother. Amen. So he's speaking about how that those that are strong in the faith are to respond to those that have weak consciences. Amen. Some that allow some things while others scrupulously disallow them. He speaks of some that recognize some observances while others do not recognize them. But verse number 1 that we're dealing with today, Paul is led of the Holy Spirit to instruct us to receive such into our fellowship. Amen. And not to dispute with them. They're to be kindly received and not harshly condemned. Amen. I'm not going to go into details and get into the details of the differences, the possible disputes that come. It's interesting to me that he mentions this here. He mentions these same things in 1 Corinthians and I think again in 2 Corinthians. And he mentions some very similar to this in the book of Galatians. But it's interesting to me that we don't have Jews in our congregation now. In most congregations in America, we don't necessarily have Jews that are observing Jews, that are careful of days and meats and all that. But it's still true that we have differences in opinions about what is allowed and what's not allowed in our, what we'd say, secular life. Amen. Well, he's telling us here that we need to learn how to act, how to react, and how to respond to those differences. Our differences should not paralyze us. In other words, they shouldn't stop us from doing something for God. Amen. Sometimes they do. We have a difference and it just stops us dead in our tracks. Because we just want to argue about it. Amen. Somebody said, you know, that verse of scripture that says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. And somebody says that means that you ought never go to bed angry. And somebody else said, why would you want to do that when you can stay up all night and argue? Some people enjoy an argument. But it stops you in your tracks. And you're not moving forward in these things. And by the way, we have a job to do. There's sinners to be reached. There's a God to glorify. Amen. There's truths to be taught, and those things have to be done, and we can't be paralyzed by our differences. Amen. We have a job to do for our Savior. We ought to do it. Verse number 1 tells us to receive this brother who is weak in the faith. You see those very words in the King James Bible. That Greek word translated received is Strong's number 4355. It means to take to oneself. We'd say, take them under your wing. Take them into your care. It means to guide them, to receive them, to admit them into your fellowship. So the person that he's telling us to receive is one that is weak in the faith. Amen. He is, by the way, in the faith. He is a believer.
Amen. He is a believer. He's just not strongly persuaded about some of the truths that we find in the Bible. This speaks of a mutual faith and a mutual reception. He's saved, I'm saved. He receives me, I receive him. That's what it's dealing with. Amen. And so it's dealing with both the weak and the strong. The strong is to receive the weak is to receive the strong. This is repeated at the close of our section here in chapter 15, verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Amen. So notice that verse 1 tells us to receive him, but not to doubtful disputations. Verse 7 of chapter 15 says receive him to the glory of God. So don't just dispute and don't just argue, but he said bring glory to God. That's the point that he's trying to bring in to this. Amen. Amen. Now, I've got a note here, and I'm almost done. I'm getting towards done. I'm getting towards my conclusion. My conclusion will take just a moment. A note here that I put in. There are certainly limits as to what is to be allowed or who is to be received. Amen. The Apostle Paul is known to have worked with multitudes of people in his earthly ministry. Every epistle that he writes, it's not just Paul. It's Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, Paul and Timotheus, Paul and Silvanus. And when you go to chapter number 16, you're going to find dozens of names of people that Paul knows and has worked with and is recognizing. Paul received people into his fellowship. But there was also people that Paul excluded from his fellowship. There was also times that Paul said, I can't walk with them anymore. Amen. Some people Paul had to separate ways with, even publicly denounce some of the opinions and actions of those that he had attempted to walk with, those he had attempted to work with. Amen. But he came to a point he realized that they no longer could walk together, and they certainly couldn't work together. Amen. Now, I gave that example about the army battalion that's marching together. They're marching in unity, although they don't have a uniformity of understandings. Matter of fact, Brother Duncan Long with a book on Stonewall Jackson. I didn't intend on alluding to it, but generally what I'm reading applies in some way in what God's got for me to preach and teach about. Stonewall Jackson, I'm in chapter number 3 where he's going to the Mexican War. It's before the Civil War. Of course, he just got out of West Point and he's going to the war, and there's a lot of orders that he was given that he did not understand. He didn't have to understand them. He just had to obey them. Amen. And he could question, why are we doing this or why are they doing that? He could have those questions in his mind, but his point was, even though there was not a uniformity in opinion nor a uniformity in understanding, yet they're listening to the same orders, they're obeying the same orders, they're going in the same direction, and they're following the same leader. Amen. Amen. So I thought about that in church-wise. If somebody was to come in here and say, I want to be a part of your fellowship, but I'm not reading from the King James Bible, I'm reading from the Quran. I'm not following Christ Jesus, I'm following Muhammad. We'd have to say, I'm sorry, friend. This is a Church of Jesus Christ, and you've got to come to Christ in order to be a part of us. Amen. I do like what Brother Ronnie Sutton said about a family several years ago. He said his family started visiting them, and they'd been coming for a few Sundays, and they talked to him about possibly joining. And he said one Sunday morning it got out of the banks. Boy, I wish it would around here sometime. Amen. He said one Sunday morning it just got out of the banks. People got to rejoicing. People got to shouting and praising God. After the service, the man came to him and said, Preacher, I want to talk to you. And so they got to talking. And the man said, now, this kind of goings on, is this going to be normal? And Brother Sutton said, well, it don't happen as often as it probably should. But he said, I just want to remind you, we're not joining you. You're joining us. And if you don't want to join us, go on down the road. And yeah, that's exactly right. Not that you don't want to be friendly, but you're wanting to say, listen, we're not here to adapt to you. We're going to try to lead you along in the ways that we've found and walk in. Amen. If somebody says that they're reading the Quran, they're following Muhammad, we can't march for them because we're not in the same army, first of all. We're not reading the same book, and we're not following the same orders. We're not following the same leader. Amen. How about somebody that comes in and says, now I'm a Christian,
Well, I just don't like that King James Bible. I like one of them that leaves verses out. You know, they're easier to understand. You don't have as many verses to read. We have to say, listen, friend, we can't necessarily walk together that way. We may be following the same leader. I'm not going to say that we're not necessarily following the same leader, but we're not marching in the same direction. And we're not following the same orders. Amen. Here's a third thing I thought about that where you have to draw the line. When somebody is divisive, when somebody is disruptive, when somebody is disorderly, we can't march with them because they're refusing to march with us in the same direction. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm sure that there are other divisions that would be and have to be made, but these divisions that are made when we decide we can't walk together, I'm talking about as a church body. That's not made on an individual basis. That's made from the church and the church leaders. Right. I believe the church leaders lead the church and the church as a whole says, we're not going to walk this way with this person any longer. Amen. Now, in conclusion, I know that nearly killed everything right there. Let me remind you what I said at the beginning of the message. I said I would repeat it. The weaker brother is to be accepted. Three things he's to be accepted. Confidently, courteously, and charitably. I want to look at those three things in conclusion. For him to be accepted confidently, we have to know where we stand. We've got to be confident in our own standing. Amen. We've got to be in the book on a daily basis, on a continual basis. We need to be grounded in the things that are written in God's Word. Amen. Has this weaker brother that's come and professed faith in Christ? If he has, we can be confident of a few things. If he's come to Christ for salvation, Christ didn't save him in his sins. He saved him from his sins. So he won't say, well, then we're going to just keep right on drinking and we're going to keep on carousing and we're going to keep on running around. That's not what Christ leads people to do. Christ saves people from their sins. Now, some things may take a while for him to clean, but he'll clean. Amen. That's exactly right. And we'll know not only that he's saved from his sins, but we also know that even though he's a weaker brother, he has the Spirit of God living within. If he's a brother, that Spirit of God embodies him and guides him into all truth. Amen. And so we can have confidence that the Holy Ghost is going to guide our brother and he's going to guide us. And that if we're to walk together, he'll enable us to see how to do that. He'll lead us in the right way. Amen. Now, if he, the weaker brother, and we, the stronger brother, will have the right attitude towards one another and towards the Lord and his word, we can walk together. Amen. Secondly, not only must he be received confidently, but he must be received courteously. I believe that means with a sincere welcome. Not just a surface level. You understand what I'm saying? Sincere means runs deep. Honestly glad to see somebody here. Amen. People can almost tell whether you really are glad to see them or not. Amen. Amen. I mean, police officer walks, he pulls you over, he turns blue lights on. By the way, he slows you down just by passing. You see him going that way and you slow down. And he turns around, turns the blue lights on, and pulls you over, and you say, "Woo, officer, I'm so glad to see you." He knows you're lying. He knows it. Because it's not sincere. The only way you'd have been glad to see him was if he's there to rescue you. Maybe somebody's chasing. I'm glad you're here because I was running away from that fella, was why I was running so fast. Amen. But in reality, people that come to the church, they know whether you're really glad they're there or not. Sometimes even members get the feeling like, I don't believe they're glad I'm here. And we ought to be careful about that. Amen. We ought to be, here's what he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But there's something else we're not to forsake. He said, exhorting one another. Amen. We're not to forsake the fact of exhorting one another. We ought to genuinely be glad that everybody else is in the house of God. Amen. You may not be able to talk to everybody. I understand that. But you ought to be able to talk to somebody. And you ought to be able to reach out to more than one and to multiple, especially to visitors. Amen.
Amen. Well, they're to be received courteously. That means we're sincerely glad. And by the way, that courteously also means that we're trusting that he's sincere in his profession. Amen. We got to guard against being overly censorious or overly judgmental or suspicious about somebody's testimony. Wow, they said they got saved, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. There's a whole lot of people said they got saved that I don't believe got saved. Matter of fact, there's people in the Bible, you'll find that. Amen. Old Simon, he said he got saved. They even baptized him. But then when Peter got there and he tried to buy the Holy Ghost, Simon said, your money perish with you. You know what he's saying? Peter's saying to Simon, he's saying, you didn't get saved. You made a public profession, but you didn't get saved. Amen. There are false professions, and sometimes that causes us to be overly suspicious. We've got to guard against that. Amen. Our own faith in their profession may be weak, but we are yet to receive them into the watch care of the church. And by the way, that's something we've got to get back to. Amen. As a church, we're to watch over one another. We're to be helpful to one another. Amen. If their testimony is true, they're going to have enough spiritual enemies to contend with without me and you being against them. Amen. They're going to need our help. They're going to need our friendship when newborn babes are brought into the family or brought into the church. Everybody does the same thing. Everybody oohs and ahs over them, don't they? Oh, look at that. Ain't it so sweet? You forget that in just a few days. But those newborn babes are accepted. And you know what we do? Those newborn babes come in, we take time out of our regular plan to just ogle that baby and just love on that baby. That's the way it ought to be with newborn saints. Amen. Not just go on like nothing ever happened. When somebody says they get saved by the grace of God, we ought to rejoice with them. We ought to be glad that there's a new child been added into the family of God. A newborn babe into the family of God. Amen. Amen. And so we take those babies up with open arms. We take those babies up with generous feelings so that these newborn babes are welcomed. That's the way newborn believers ought to be. Sometimes newborn babies disrupt the peace and the order of the home. Maybe even disrupt the peace and the order of the service. You know what we do? We don't just throw them out, just throw the baby out with the bathwater. Right? No, we take time. And we try to adjust things so that we can restore peace and we can restore order. Right? But we try to find out what's wrong, and we try to see that peace and order is rapidly restored. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be with these newborn babes. Amen. This newborn believer might have some erroneous views. He's not yet come to a full understanding. He don't need to be harassed, and he don't need to be resented. Amen. We ought to pray for him. We ought to endeavor to see him grow. Amen. And neither should he harass the church. I mean, it fits both sides. Right? It fits both sides. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. Don't complain about nobody shaking your hand if you hadn't shook somebody's hand. Don't fuss at somebody not calling you if you hadn't called somebody. Right? And you could just go on and on about that. Amen. So this thing is, we're to receive him courteously. Amen. We don't want him disturbing the peace of the assembly, but likewise we ought not disturb his peace, causing him to doubt the doctrines that he's learning. Amen. We ought to lead him in the way that's right. All right, and the third thing here, receive him confidently, courteously, and charitably. That means we ought to love him like Christ's love does. Amen. When you got saved and you first joined the church, I'll guarantee you there's a lot of things about the church you wasn't sure about. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, when I got saved, he said, I went, first revival meeting I ever went to, he said, I wasn't sure if you paid to get in or paid to get out. You know, you go to a theater, you got to pay to get in. You go to Walmart, you got to pay to get out. Amen. If you're carrying anything out, at least you're supposed to pay. He said, I wasn't sure which one you did. He didn't know about it. Well, there's a lot of things maybe we didn't know, but I'm going to tell you what, God showed charity to us. God extended love. It's the goodness of God that led us to repentance. Isn't that right? Amen. And we're told to do all things with charity. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us as Christians to do? Amen. In this case that I'm talking about here in verse number 1, we're to remember the long-suffering patience of God, the charity of Christ, our Savior, expressed towards us. And then we're to reflect that. It helps remember it and reflect it towards others. Amen. Remember it for our own self and reflect it to our brothers. Have you ever held opinions or beliefs that you later realized were erroneous? Wasn't 100% right? Amen. Have you gained new light, or at least additional light, upon some of your areas of doctrine and practice? If so, give the same charity to others. Amen. One more illustration. I'm almost done. When think about these children. When a little child's learning to walk, it's funny to watch them, isn't it? They pull up on something. I see Ezra over there pulling up on stuff. Lily pulling up on stuff. They go pulling up on things, and they'll pull things over. They'll disrupt the furniture. They'll stumble, or they'll cause you to stumble. You know what we do? We don't just kick them out of the way and say, "You worthless thing, you'll never learn to walk." No, we encourage them. We encourage. Now we say, "Don't pull on that thing with that bowl on it, or that pitcher on it, or that jar on it." We say, "Don't disrupt it." And we'll try to direct them in the right way to go, but we'll also encourage them to take some steps. That's how it is with new believers. A lot of times they may cause some disruptions. They may upset some things here or there. You know what we ought to do? We ought to set them back in order, by the way. And we ought to tell them, listen, you can't be doing that. You can't be pulling on that. You can't be pushing on that. You can't be causing others to stumble. But we want to encourage you to learn to walk. We want to encourage you to go in the right way. James chapter number 3 and verse 15 says this, and I'm done. He says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." He said, if you're strong, here's what he's talking about. Receive such a one. Receive them into the household of faith. Receive them into the church of the living God. Amen. This whole act of receiving other brethren, talking about weaker brethren with charity, is an act of meekness and humility on our part. You know what God wants us to do? He doesn't want us to get proud in our religion. Knowledge can puff up. I've seen some people that are so proud that they know better than what other people know, and yet they're not considerate and careful and helpful towards that weaker brother. Maybe God's